Hi there, and welcome to the Copper Loader Racing podcast as we build up to tomorrow's Grand National at Aintree. It looks set to be a cracker. 34 runners are due to go to post tomorrow for what is the biggest race in our calendar in terms of the sport being exposed to the wider public. Now, there has of course been quite a number of changes over the years to the race, none more so than this year. The first fence of course is brought closer to the start, and we've also seen the field size reduced from 40 runners down to 34. And for some of the purists, and I regard myself as one of the biggest fans of the race, I've followed it since I was a kid, and for some of those that are purists of the race, they think that it's taken a bit of a shine off it. I personally don't think it has. I still think there's a wider interest in the race. A lot of people that I know who don't typically follow horse racing throughout the year will be still tuned in on Saturday to watch the race and to have a small wager on it, which is what has always been the tradition for folk to have a couple of quid each way, or, you know, dedicating a bit of money to a bet on two or three other horses to finish in the places, and everybody likes to pick out a big priced winner as well, or a big priced horse that's going to maybe get into the frame and give them a nice wee juicy return. As I say, I think it's still a very special race, and the fences maybe have changed over the years, but I think it's been necessary for it to still hold its prominence in the wider public psyche. I still watch the race and still get a thrill out of watching them jump in those fences, even though they may look smaller when you compare them back to 30, 40 years ago. They still give you that thrill watching the race. So fingers crossed that everything goes off without any problems tomorrow and all the horses and jockeys return back safe and well. Now, Aintree, of course, the three-day meeting has become quite a popular meeting overall over the years, and I think a lot of credit has to go to the Jockey Club, Aintree Racecourse, and the City of Liverpool for the support that they lend the race. It is, having been to Aintree a few times myself, it is fantastic to see so many people come out for that meeting. And you know, today it will be Ladies' Day, which is well supported, obviously. But I think, and for a racing point of view, I think the wider card over the 3 days is brilliant. I think, particularly at the moment, we have such a big battle for the Trainers' Championship with Paul Nicholls and Dan Skelton, really only a few grand in it between them, but they also are well aware that Willie Mullins, who of course is based in Ireland, has the opportunity to win that, and even more so would put himself right in the frame if he was to win the Grand National tomorrow, because you're talking about £500,000 goes to the winning connections. And then that would really set it up for the remainder of the season. You know, we've got the April meeting at Cheltenham coming up next midweek, and we also then, off hot in the heels of that, is the Scottish Grand National meeting at Ayr, and then we finish off the following weekend at Sandown. And it would be great if Willie Mullins was still involved. Me personally being up near Ayr, it would be great to see him send over some horses for the Scottish Grand National, the Scottish Champion Hurdle, for example. So we'll wait to see how that pans out. But let's get back to the action on the track, and looking at the Grand National itself. And I'm going to give you a few ideas of where I think your money maybe should go. But of course, it's all down to what you maybe want to pick. But just giving my own thoughts and reflections on the race, with it being, it looks like, testing conditions at Aintree, although the racing yesterday, I thought they weren't finishing looking like tired horses. There was a bit of rain again yesterday, but it looks like it's going to be dry from now right up until maybe just before the race. There's forecast some rain there, but I think that might be actually quite a good thing. It might just freshen the ground up a wee bit. It looks like it could be pretty warm today. Good for Liverpool, not for up here in Scotland. It's still pretty dull and bleak. So it could be testing, and that could maybe not favour some horses. And looking at last year's winner, Corrick Rambler, for Lucinda Russell and Peter Scudamore, who won it absolutely, as you know, maybe the margin didn't show how comfortable he won it, but you just clocked Corrick Rambler all the way around, and then, as Derek Fox has the habit of doing, just brought him right into prominence as in the closing stages, and jumped to last, looked a clear winner, idled a bit in front with that head carriage that he has, but Derek was kept up to his work to make sure that he finished it, and as I say, he never looked like he was going to get beat. So he's back again, of course, this year to see if he could retain his crown, and of course, most recently, it's been Tiger Roll who has managed to achieve that. So can Corrick Rambler do the same? Well, of course, he's higher up in the weights as he was last year, but then you have to take into consideration the improvement. Having won it last year, this season was all about, looking to see where this horse could take connections in terms of stepping them up into graded company. He put in that disappointing round of jumping at Kelso on his seasonal debut, but I wasn't too perturbed by that, and I don't think Lucinda and Peter were either, because he has a habit of not showing his best when he returns at the start of the season. I think his stablemate Ahoy Senor is very much of that ilk as well. I think he has. After that run at Kelso, he ran in the Betfair Chase and bottomless ground at Haydock, wouldn't have favoured him, but he plugged on well to finish third, and then obviously he then had that break and then came back and ran an absolute blinder, I thought, in the Gold Cup. Was tiring at the end. That's my only bit of concern, I would say. The ground, yeah, possibly, but I would say my big concern would be how much does that race taken out of him. Now, Lucinda says that he's looking bright and breezy in the yard, and I'm sure he is, but it's when they get out there on that race course, and they'll know that. It's a common theme you'll hear from trainers down the years, that a horse has come out the race well and, seems to be fine in the yard. It's not until you get them back on track and then you see what mark that last race has left on them, and that'll be the interesting point. He's around about what, as of Friday afternoon, he's what, 5-1. I don't think he's going to get any shorter than that. I would be shocked if he does. I think if anything, he may go out a couple of points nearing race time, so that's something to be aware of if you're going to have a punt on him. But I wouldn't imagine he's going to get any shorter than 5-1. He's definitely worth waiting till tomorrow to have that bet on him, if that's what you're wanting to do. He may drift, who knows. Other punters may look at other horses and their odds could shorten, and you never know, Corrick Rambler could go out and get to a price that might be worthwhile having an each way punt on him, because I do think he'll jump round it, he'll get round. You can't guarantee that. The Grand National's a Grand National, it's a big field, anything can happen in front of you, but I do think he'll finish in the first six, and a lot of the bookmakers are obviously offering that place terms, which is something to bear in mind if he drifts out. I know he's about 5-1, and those that may be back heavy in terms of bigger stakes might still worthwhile having an each way punt on him, but for someone like myself at 5-1, it's more of having on the nose, which, as I say, I think he's more than capable of still achieving. Beyond Corrick Rambler, my other fancy is Limerick Lace, the Irish horse who won at Cheltenham. She's, you know, mares don't have a great record in the race. I take that. But Mark Walsh, who's the retained jockey for JP McManus, the owner, has opted to pick this horse other than I Am Maximus, which is an interesting one. She has the right profile, I think, coming into this race in terms of a progressive sort. And we've seen that with previous winners, horses that are maybe second season chasers who are, you know, young enough to be weighted well, which she is for this race. The only question mark, because the ground as well, I think, is very favourable for her too. The question mark would be, you know, how is she going to see out this trip? That is the big question, because we've never really seen her run it at to this extreme. I don't think she's run over 3 miles, if I'm honest. So that is the question mark. But, you know, obviously connections feel that she can, and, you know, connections are well versed in winning this race. So I wouldn't, you know, be too worried about it. It's there. You know, there's horses sometimes that you think in the Grand National, or they'll see it out, but then they jump the last and the tank empties. So, you know, I think at a price just now, she's run about what, 12s, 14s. She's a good each way punt, is Limerick Lace. In terms of, I, you know, the Irish have dominated this race over the years. You know, it's only really Lucinda Russell that's been the flying ointment in that part with Corrick Rambler, and won for Arthur a few years ago as well. And they've not just dominated winning it a lot of the times. The placed horses, sometimes it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 5 that they've done down the years. So, you know, we've been speaking a lot over the past couple of months, especially with the Cheltenham Festival, about the dominance of the Irish coming over, not just the graded races, but with this being our premier handicap in National Hunt Racing, they've managed to, you know, take the winnings back over the Irish Sea as well over the past couple of decades. So, in saying that, I'm looking at another couple of Irish horses. It's actually the Ronnie Bartlett's two horses. I'll start with Galvin, who was at last year unseated at the first. So, you know, he's not managed to get round. I think he's got an admirable chance. You know, I think he's. I fancied him last year, to be honest. I really did. I thought he could run really well in this race. And, you know, he came into the race last year off the back of running well in the cross-country race behind Delta Work. This season, it's been a bit more, you know, his last appearance was back in February, finishing behind Hidden Valley Lake at, was it Navan? And of course, prior to that, he did have those runs in the cross-country races at Cheltenham, both in November and December. And didn't fare too well in that respect. But I really do think, you know, he is worth another punt on this one. He's a 10-year-old now. Double-figure aged horses maybe don't tend to do as well in recent years. But I think he's well versed and is a horse that could figure in the placings. And in terms of the other horse that his owner has, Statler, Galvin's trained by Gordon Elliott, Statler is by Willie Mullins. And Patrick Mullins will be on board for this one. You know, he had an excellent season back in 2022 when he came into the Cheltenham Festival off the back of a couple of really good wins. He won the National Hunt Chase there, which is a good pointer coming in a future Grand Nationals. You look at Tiger Roll, had won that race and then bounced on to win the Grand National a couple of years later. His following season after that wasn't too bad. He actually even ran in the Gold Cup, but was pulled up in that race. This season, you know, he finished behind Cocoa Beach in the cross country at Punchestown back in February. And yeah, you know, it's maybe not ideal form, but again, I think stamina shouldn't be an issue for Statler, and with the wily Patrick Mullins on board, I think he has a chance of a place. In terms of any Brit, I do like McTotty for Peter Bowen and James Bowen. You know, he loves the fences round here. He actually even won back at Aintree, but on, I think it was Boxing Day, but it was actually over the Mildmay course rather than running over the national fences. But he has won over these fences before. The only big question mark, I would say, is the fact that whether this is a stamina test that he's going to live up to is a big, big question mark. Listen, he's around about 50, 60, 61 in some places. And, you know, he might just be worthwhile having a wee wager on in that respect. And, as I say, he did win over these fences previously a couple of times. And so he obviously likes the place. But as I say, stamina is going to be a big thing, and that's just at a big, big price. A horse that, you know, will jump round for fun, and could give you some, you know, a run for your money, as we see. Now, when it comes to the Grand National, there's always that feeling about, oh, why did I not back that? Why I looked at that, and as someone like myself, I look at every horse in the race, and you try and, you know, cut your selections down to four or five. There's folk that I know that go double figures betting on it, but I think it's just mental to do that in many respects. But I will highlight a couple of horses I think are the big dangers, and actually they're up near the top of the weights. You're looking at I Am Maximus, the former Irish National winner. He won the Bobby Joe as well, so he's coming into this in really nice form, and I think he is, you know, Willie Mullins' big hope. Paul Townend takes a ride, but as I say, you know, Mark Walsh had the option to take I Am Maximus, but he's went with Limerick Lace, so I don't know if there's anything much more to look into that, but maybe he thinks he's maybe high enough in the weights. Anyway, I do still think that he could be a real danger, I Am Maximus. He is out of off the rise, the Derby winner, which of course Tiger Roll was as well. So, yeah, he could be a big danger, or will be a big danger, I think. And looking at as well at the former Gold Cup winner back in 2021, Manila Indo. Things haven't maybe went well since then, but has obviously looked more to be jumping over the cross-country races. Was targeted to obviously to do that at the festival, but that race obviously never went ahead. So he's going to come in here bouncing, I think. And, you know, Rachel Blackmore's won the race before, of course. And Manila Indo, for me, it kind of fits that bracket that you look at, you know, with Neptune Collange. You know, Manel Ando's 11-year-old. I can't remember what age Neptune was when he won. Was he 12 when he won the Grand National? He kind of fits that same bill. You know, a really classy individual, which Neptune Clonge was. They're both now at the back end of their career, and Neptune, of course, won that race. What was it, over 10 years ago or so? And Manila Indo sort of fits that same profile. You know, Neptune Clonge was placed in a Gold Cup in a time when, you know, you had Cato Starr and Denman, of course. And, you know, it was great to see him win that race when he did. And he was a big price because I had a few quid each way on him. I think he was 33-1 when he won the Grand National back then. So Manila Indo kind of fits that bill, so could be a big danger as well. I think one of the big stories of the race would, of course, be Kitty's Light, who's just made it into the race as the bottom weight for Christian Williams. We all know about the situation with his family and how much this horse has shone a light on that, and the what they've went through last season. This horse was utterly fantastic at the back end of the season, winning the Scottish Grand National and then following up the week later by winning at Sandown in what was, I think, the Bet365 Gold Cup it's called now, the old Whitbread to some of us old timers. But I just think maybe the grounds went against Kitty's Light, but you know, he's got a decent enough weight to get round there. Stamina shouldn't be an issue, but it might be more tested by this ground than running on better ground, as he did when he won at Ayr and Sandown last year. But it was worth a crack for the connections, you know, having won the Scottish Grand National, won in at Sandown. I think all eyes were on the Grand National this year, and obviously their nervous wait to see if they would get into the race, which they have. I don't think anybody would begrudge Christian Williams and the team and his family celebrating a Grand National win if Kitty's Light was to finish first past the post tomorrow. But yeah, it's going to be a tremendous spectacle. As I say, it's a fantastic race. Down the years, I've enjoyed many of them. Tiger Roll, particularly his first win a few years ago, having backed him anti post. And that's something to bear in mind with these races, you know, whether like, sort of, could Corrick Rambler fit that narrative that like Tiger Roll did? And you think back to other previous horses who won the race or and then went on to run really well subsequently. Comply or Die was one of them when he won it, which was a big, a major thing for myself back in 2008. I remember him winning it. And then the following year, he finished second behind Mon Mom. And then I think he finished fifth, sixth the following year. Then you look back, Hedge Hunter. I remember others like West Tip, Durham Edition, you know, these horses that just turned up and ran really well year after year. And Corrick Rambler could be that one. And obviously, being Scottish, it would be fantastic to see Lucinda win it again with Corrick Rambler. And time will tell if that happens. But I hope you have a very good Grand National. And remember, look out for best betting terms and for what you're looking for. If it's a big priced horse and you're wanting to get it placed, then look around for best place terms. Sometimes best place terms aren't always the thing, because the actual price might be sacrificed on that front. So if you think, nah, I'm sure it'll finish in the first four, then look for best price rather than best place terms, I always think, anyway. But yeah, just enjoy it and keep an eye out for forthcoming podcasts with myself, particularly as we get into the flat season. There's a lot of things bubbling away at the moment, and I'll hopefully announce more in due course. But happy Grand National Eve, folks, and have a good one.